I appreciate that.
The call is now being recorded.
Thank you very much. Okay, so no questions on the or changes to the agenda, so we'll move right ahead to item 3, finalize revisions to the document using Google Docs. And is anybody not up on Google Docs?
Yeah, I'm not up yet, but go ahead.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks, Denise. Hopefully you can get up shortly.
I'm also in transit.
I'm sorry. Who was that?
This is Edmund. I'm also in transit, so I'm not in front of the computer.
Oh, okay. All right. So thanks for joining us, Edmund. All right, so we now have everyone here except Bilal and Olaf, and so we'll move ahead to the first thing. I'd like to suggest that Liz be our editor in Google Docs for this meeting. Are there any objections to that? Okay.
So we'll wait till you see me try.
Yeah, well... yeah, of course, you can keep in mind that you can go back after the meeting, so if you have a little notepad and want to write yourself a note.
Sounds good.
Obviously, we'll be able to see what you do, so that's nice, but we also understand that we're putting you in an awkward situation since you're participating in the first time on this particular topic. But we do thank you very much for joining us and taking Olaf's place. All right, so the plan of attack then is just to go through the Google document in order and try to reach consensus in terms of what we want to do. Please feel free to express positions that you may not have communicated on the in your comments. And for those that are new, as we go forward, please try and pick a different color that's distinguishable if you add comments to Google Docs. And
if nothing else, Chuck, it's a very pretty document.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's very colorful. And use your initials, too, just in case it's not obvious in terms of the color. So you can just follow the example that others have done. So now going to Google Docs, let me flip over there. Why is it not up for me? I had it up. Oh, there it is. Okay, I just didn't recognize the URL that was showing up in my on my laptop. All right, so we're just going to scroll down to the very first set of comments following the sentence that says, the comments are intended to provide the ICANN board and the community as a whole with input, et cetera. Aubrey indicated that she likes the paragraph. We could even abbreviate it further. To ICCTLDs, and then I noted that we probably should decide what we want to use here. Now, based on some very technical oriented feedback from Carrie Karp and the little side group that was formed in L.A., I made a suggestion, and I did it globally throughout here, to use these, to avoid the term IDN CCTLD or anything like it. The reason being, CCTLDs are officially just the two-country ASCII codes in ISO 3166. So that's all that's a part. Those are the only CCTLDs that exist today. So what I suggested, and we can decide this right now, that we use a term like IDN territory TLDs to avoid the CC reference until such time as allocation of names into the CCNSO space is decided. Now, I made that change globally through or suggested the change globally. Does anybody want to suggest using a different term than that or even debate whether we want to change it at all?
Chuck, it's Adrian. I'll jump to QZ.
Go ahead, Adrian.
Look, I think reading Edmund's comments there, I think he's got a fairly succinct way of putting it. I agree that we should certainly make the change. I do like the differentiation, and it does make it clear. And I think that putting it definitely in Edmund's terms there and maybe adding a footnote is the way to go forward.
Okay. Let me just jump ahead to... fortunately, I did not read Edmund's comments yet.
He says, I think it is probably... Well, I mean, yeah, he's not in front of his document, so Edmund, I know you're listening, but I'll try and summarize it for you. I think it's probably a good idea to add a footnote, but perhaps a footnote would suffice. And I also think that the description of IDN territory TLD is appropriate. I also think that the term IDN labelled TLDs associated with countries or territories designated in the ISO 3166-1 list should be replaced with IDN TLDs representing a territory designated in the ISO 3166 list. Goes on to say, critical part being the representing rather than associated, because a generic term could be legally argued to be associated with a territory rather than representing them, and I think that's a good point.
Yeah, yeah. Anybody disagree with that? Now, Edmund, are you suggesting that we not change the term IDN CCTLD, or just when we change it, put the footnote the first time?
Sorry, this is rather noisy, but I guess the main thing is I think IDN CCTLD, I agree with Carrie that IDN CCTLD is probably not the appropriate word, phrase to use, but my worry about IDN territory TLD is that territory is a little bit too broad. For example, you know, even if you take into consideration .cat and .asia, territory TLD might unfortunately fall into sort of that criteria. So I try to avoid that particular description with a different type of description that avoids the CCTLD definition, but still maintains a description that is appropriate, I guess.
Now, are you suggesting then IDN labeled TLDs?
Actually, so the part label is not that much of a significance in my point, but the term CCTLD or the term territory is. I think represent is the key word there.
Okay, let me I agree with. What I was trying to do is come up with a brief term that we can use throughout the document. If every time we have to say IDN labeled TLDs associated with countries or territories, it's an awfully long term. Can somebody suggest a term that you're more comfortable with that's brief? That's why I did the territory one. I fully understand your point there. It'd be nice if we had a briefer term rather than having to use that lengthy term every time we make reference, and there are many, many references.
Yeah, Chuck, it's Adrian. I think if I get where Edmund's going on this, it's that he wants a footnote, at least initially, to further explain that. But your use of IDN territory TLD is okay to use through the document, but just footnote it the first time you use it to go on and do that further explanation.
Is that okay? Is that correct, Edmund?
If that's the short form that we end up with, I am generally okay. But I think actually the word just IDN territory TLD, as I sort of try to mention, in that case, we don't know whether .cat or .asia might fall into territory TLD, but. With the footnote, I'm generally okay if we do that. If we don't come up with a better short form, I'm okay with that. But if we can come up with a short term, actually, I did put a little bit of thought to it, but I I really didn't come up with a better term, but if we could, it's better. But if we couldn't, then I'm fine with it.
Would it be better to say IDN country, TLD?
No, because country, territory goes beyond country.
Oh, that's why I use territory. So, but I'm just trying to see if, does anybody have a different suggestion?
I have one idea, and I don't know. I mean, if we continue to use IDNCCTLD, but have defined it in a footnote, that what we mean when we use this term is that problematic? Because that is the term that everyone else is using. Now we redefine it as in a broader context with open questions. So does that work at all?
Comments?
I think Carrie really hated it.
Okay.
I actually feel that IDN CCTLD is actually better than IDN Territory TLD because of the reasons that I just mentioned.
So the approach that Aubrey's suggesting is to, the first time we use IDN CCTLD is to footnote it and clarify the distinction that we think should be made there, but to go ahead and use the term IDN CCTLD, which the GAC and the CCNSO obviously use. Are there any objections to that approach?
Even if it's only an interim approach until we come up with a better name.
Right. I can live with that. Anybody can't live with that? And let me suggest that, Liz, you control the movement of the document. Otherwise, if each of us are moving it around, I assume that affects everybody.
I don't think so.
No? So I can move it independently, so when I move it right now, it doesn't affect others. It keeps moving back on mine, so I was...
Actually, I don't see yours moving.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't see your moving either, so I don't know why yours keeps moving back.
Okay, all right. Well, that's okay. As long as I can control it. So, Liz, question for you. Are you okay on what we're doing here?
We're going to leave the term IDN CCTLD, but in the first instance, define it as you've defined it, or
right. And I had added a footnote already along this line. Edmund is suggesting some additional information there, so you don't have to do it on the fly right now. But as long as you, the key thing is to understand. And then hopefully you can, in the next few days, come back with, you know, revise the document and then let us know so that we can all see the change.
Okay.
By the revisions.
Way.
And you can, now, Aubrey and Liz and I talked about this earlier in the week, but the assumption is that Liz could delete the comments as they are taken care of, and then... All we have left then is the latest version of the wording.
I'll point out to people that if you go to the revisions tab, you'll see that there's multiple revisions, so those comments won't be lost, and as you'll always be able to go back and see the comment, they just won't be in the active text.
Okay.
And that way we would leave any comments that hadn't been resolved yet.
Right, exactly. Does that make sense? Anybody opposed to that? All right.
This particular one, I'm going to just leave it and go back. Since it's a macro correction with a footnote, I'm not going to do it here if people are looking for my changes, but I do have it for the future.
All right. And in fact, if you go into the executive summary, then the first paragraph there, my comments there are related to the same thing. So I don't, unless anybody wants to talk about that further, and we'll just skip over every time I suggest that change throughout, because I did a global when I did this. So, all right. So I think we're to, in the executive summary, here are what we believe to be the most important points. I suggested a change in the number one. changing both CC and G in parentheses there with whether considered GTLDs or CCTLDs. Any problems with that suggested change? Okay, and Liz, you can, you know, you may not be able to keep up with us doing live changes, and that's okay. I just want to give you the freedom, as long as you have know what was agreed to, so that you can make them after the fact. That's okay.
Yep. Is the parenthetical still there? Both
yes.
C, C, and G.
It
okay.
It would still be in parentheses.
Okay.
Just worded a little bit differently.
Okay. Can you all see my changes now? Because this one I'm capturing on the screen.
No, I don't.
I think we have to hit refresh every
oh,
once
I see.
In a while.
Okay.
It may have its own regular refresh rate. I haven't figured that out yet.
Okay.
So we just hit edit, refresh.
There's a refresh down at the bottom, yeah.
Oh, at the bottom. A refresh at the bottom. Okay.
That's where you see also editing now, long list of names, and then there's a refresh underlined.
Okay, I don't see that, so. That's our.
You see the also editing now?
No, I do
yes,
not.
Oh, you don't see that?
I see down at the bottom. Oh, also editing now. There's refresh in orange, that orange color.
Yeah, that orange one. Oh, sorry, I should have said color.
Okay, no, not a problem. I hit refresh. So there would just be, you can delete the both CC and G in parentheses. That's going to be replaced with in parentheses.
Got it.
Consider GTLDs or CC or TLDs associated with countries or territories.
Got it.
Okay. Going to number two, I suggested rewording this to say advantaged or disadvantaged due to actions by either supporting organization. And then I even suggested an example there. In other words, the introduction of IDNs, GTLD should not be delayed because of delays in finalizing a CCNSO policy or vice versa. And number two, their efforts to fast-track IDNs by either SO should be equally available to the other SO. Any discussion on that or any objection or suggested changes to my suggested rewording? That was a result of some earlier discussions we had. Okay, so
that's accepted?
No objections? Yes, that's accepted. Except that I'm going to move fairly quickly because we have a lot of ground to cover, so please stop me, even if it means they hold on while you think it through when we do this, because so that Liz has the direction that she needs.
I also figure that this is only the first time we'll be through the text, but we'll go through again in a following meeting.
Yeah, right. Okay. Then going to item three, ignore the first change that I suggested, because that's that broader issue we talked about at the beginning, but I think the second one still applies. So change IDN labeled CCTLDs to IDN. Oh, no, never. I guess neither one of those apply.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I my screen keeps...
It jumps when there's a refresh, and it does seem to have an automatic refreshing.
So I'm just making changes there.
Right, so if you're making changes, and then we get an automatic refresh, that's when it seems to bring us back to where you are, which
okay.
is appropriate.
Yeah, so I just have to just keep moving back and forth. Okay.
That's cool.
So looks like... All right, so now we're on number four. Is that right?
Right.
And I suggested a change there, providing that no IDN TLDs associated with territories, I suppose we should say countries or territories, are introduced earlier than IDN GTLDs. Any problems with that?
So it should be countries or territories?
Yeah. We're not, since that's not abbreviated there anyway, I would say that the more accurate term is countries or territories, which I did not obviously have in my note there, my comment.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
And maybe I'm just being slow this morning, but does 4 contradict 2? And as we're saying that neither side should be penalized, and then we're saying that none of these should be introduced before any of those. Now, granted, I don't personally want to see the IDN-CCTLDs associated, I mean, introduced earlier since we're already standing in the queue, but the statement seems contradictory between 4 and 2, unless I'm misreading something.
Well, and maybe we need to reword it, but I don't, in my view, it doesn't. The idea is that, that, and obviously these are all picked up from more detailed comments down below in the document, but number 2 is basically saying that either SO could decide could make the decision to let the other one go ahead and proceed. If that happens, then, you know, probably some steps need to be taken to deal with possible conflicts down the road. If one of the SOs, neither one should be able to go ahead of the other without concurrence of the other SO. Does that make sense? So number 4, then, we're supporting an interim solution. Now maybe we need to add some wording to cover what I just said. Does that make sense, Aubrey?
I guess.
Maybe we need to add, and number 4 there in my comment, suggest adding, provided that no IDN-TLDs associated with countries or territories are introduced earlier than IDN-GTLDs, without the GNSO's approval or concurrence or whatever we want. Does that help? Because I see your point, and it probably is contradictory unless we add something like I just said. That makes sense? Does it solve the problem?
Chuck, this is Tina. I think that makes sense. Because it is contradicting as it is today, and I think that is what that other GNSO IDN group was tasked to discuss and provide some more, you know, information around how the CC Fast Track is supported. But and that is what you're saying here. We're supporting the interim solution,
mm-hmm.
but it shouldn't set a precedence for anything at a longer term.
Right.
Is that okay, Aubrey?
In the general idea, yes, but I'm not sure if it's not putting it slightly strong to say without GNSO concurrence, but what we're saying is without full community ICANN community participation. And as it's not that we, per se, GNSO, has to approve it, it's that the full community together needs to, if we're going to accelerate something, then we need to do it as a community. And there's a slight nuanced difference.
Yeah. Now, one question, and I think you're going in a good direction, but I'm wondering if we say without full community participation.
That's too wide.
Yeah, that's really too wide, because just as long as they get comments from full community, they can go ahead and proceed it.
Right.
And is it too ambiguous to just say appropriate community participation?
That's certainly a good stopgap. Appropriate is always a good word to use. You know, provided the notes are introduced. And it's not really earlier than IDN GTLDs. It's before the entire issue is resolved.
Yeah, but we have to be careful here. If we're too vague, they're going to miss our point.
Right.
Don't we really want them to understand that we don't want either going before the other, if at all possible?
Well, then we don't really mean what we say in two. And we may want to come back to this later and leave us time to think about how to put that. I think having that still marked in green, it is turquoise or whatever color, it is good, but it's really a careful balance between the two. In other words, if we mean it in two, and we're saying no one should be delayed because of the other issues that need to be resolved. And we mean that, and I think we do, and I think we mean it reciprocally.
Well, then maybe you want to pick up the language that you have into about neither category is advantaged or disadvantaged.
Well, we're making a specific point in four, saying that in general we support the near-term fast-track solution. However, because of the broader issues, it needs to be fast-tracked before all of the broader issues are resolved. Means it needs wider concurrence. And so I agree with the, in principle, without GNSO concurrence, but I think that that's to say that we have to concur us specifically is perhaps it's the right bluntness and we should leave it.
Or we could say participation.
Well, again, I almost think that your last statement, Aubrey, is correct, that If we're not fairly blunt on this one, a lot of people are going to miss the point.
All right, so let's leave it blunt, and perhaps later when we've got the whole thing down, a way of, you know, a way of fine-tuning it will occur.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Anybody uncomfortable with that?
No, Chuck, it's Adrian. I think we're best to circle back to the executive summary when we've gone through the meat of the document, because there's certainly a few of these points we're going to be arguing about later, which may substantially impact.
Well, let's go ahead and do what we're doing right now, but you're right, we're probably going to have to come back. That'll actually also help us when we get down to the meat of the document, so I think it'll work both ways. On number two, we may have to come back to that later, but I still believe, and I'm open to people disagreeing with me on this, but that there is still the possibility that one could end up being introduced before the other. And, you know, for example, we, for some strange reason, support a plan by the CCNSO to start a couple months before us or something, or vice versa. In those cases, what we're dealing with here really, let me get very specific. If GTLD IDNs happen before CCTLD IDNs, and that could happen, okay, and obviously we would involve the CCNSO here, I think we would need to do something like reserve IDN script versions of country names and territory names at least temporarily until the CCNSO was ready to go.
I thought that's what we had the objection procedure for.
Well, my own opinion, I don't think that's sufficient if we go ahead of that. I think once they're ready to go, that's absolutely the way it should be handled. But if we go first, it's going to create a huge stink, and I can understand it from their point of view, if we don't specifically reserve the names on a temporary basis until their policy is established. Now, let me hear from others on this.
Chuck, it's Adrian. Can I jump the queue, please?
Yes. Go ahead, Adrian. And by the way, let me suggest that unless feel free, for the sake of time, we're, I think, a small enough group that just jump in. Now, as soon as I detect that there are multiple people wanting in, I will automatically take a cue. So just feel free to jump in.
Okay, great. Look, I think we talk about, I just want to note that we do discuss this later in the document with some further detail. But whilst we're talking about it now, I certainly agree with you, Chuck, because if you rely merely on the objection procedure, that means people have gone to the trouble of putting together applications, and they've gone to the trouble of raising funding to put in their application, and then they're going to wait for and then they're going to be vetoed the minute they hand in .india. You're going to get a lot of angry and disgruntled folks once they do that. They're going to say, well, why didn't I know this in the first place? So, without a precise list of blocking, at least initially, in this circumstance, I think you're on a hiding to nothing.
Anyone else want to comment?
Chuck, this is Tina.
Go ahead.
One of the things that would be difficult from a staff perspective to implement that is how do you actually get that list translated? And I think that was what the Reserve Names Working Group was talking about, and they decided that it wasn't possible to make that kind of translated list, or at least that list doesn't exist, and it could be hard to get it translated. And so I'm wondering if we can do maybe a list and then put some general language around it and say, you know, all countries and territories, names in all languages, you know, something generic around how these are reserved and you cannot apply for any of those, and here's a list of what that could be, but it could go beyond that list. Is that too vague, or?
You know, I think that's an excellent solution to the problem, because if that's written into the RFP somewhere that says, by the way, you know, don't do this yet, at least, you know, that you may be able to get these later on, but for the time being, until such times as the country codes have worked out what they're doing, this is what we're doing. We're blocking the entire reference. I think that's a great idea.
I just don't want to limit it to a list that may not be complete.
Right. I'm sort of uncomfortable with that strong a statement, because that's sort of obviating the processes that the PDP group as a whole went into. What I think is close to that might work is to just warn people that if you do apply for a country name, and I would put in any of its national scripts as opposed to in any script, but if you actually do apply for that, please be warned there is an objection procedure. You most likely will be caught in that objection procedure, and so we recommend that you don't do it. But to actually prohibit it is going one step further than the reserve name groups or the PDP was willing to actually go. And it was
not,
basically
it's
trying to warn people that this is a dangerous place to go, but if you want to apply for it, be warned. This is what you're asking for. And that's
asking,
why we had the mechanisms in that said, you know, and the staff will notify, you know, the GAC anytime one of these happens, one of these applications happens, so that the objection is almost automatic.
Did I hear Liz and Adrian?
You did not hear me.
Okay, I thought I heard somebody else. Okay, is there somebody else besides Adrian that wanted in? Okay, Adrian, go ahead.
I understand where Avery is going. I don't know that you're prohibiting it as such. Yeah, maybe you're saying for the time being, you're just blocking it. There's a difference between prohibit and block. So you are entitled to apply, just not yet. Wait until the CCs have worked it out. Maybe that language is a little softer.
Now, that's an interesting variation of what you're suggesting, Aubrey. By the way, I was kind of thinking the same thing, some sort of a warning, but what about the variation that Adrian's suggesting there?
I still think that implicit list is still too big and too broad, and whether that list would then be seen as capturing things like, you know, .US Steel is an ambiguity unless we get defined as sort of saying, well, you can include the name of the country, but it can't be just the name of the country. And so as we try to define, well, what is it you're saying we can't or will be blocked? Are you saying it really becomes way too difficult to pin down? And especially when we go beyond country names.
I think you're overstating it, Avery.
Huh?
I don't know that it's that complicated, Avery. I think you're overstating it. I think quite simply you just say any TLD that is a representative, and you know, we can go back to some of the language we've used here before, of a territory or a territory, I think we just left it at that, will be blocked at this point in time. And that's it, that is representative. Yeah, well, we've used this language before. So that means they can put in US Steel and they can put in Australian shoes or whatever it is. But I think it covers it off. I think it's fairly clean.
Do we have to then have some sort of a process that decides whether or not a name does in fact represent a country or territory.
Well, yeah, I mean,
if we don't have a list.
Right, first of all,
well, then that's
territory.
How you fall back on your objection.
Right. First of all, if you say territory, you obviously have to restrict it to as defined in 3166-1.
Yep.
So obvious, so that you're not, somebody isn't saying, well, you know, Berlin is really a territory. You know, it's a set of territories.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Right. So you definitely we want to restrict it to 3166. I still think a warning is better than an outright blocking, but you know, and I would leave those two as, you know, options at the moment, whether we're blocking or whether we're just warning. But I think doing something is good, and perhaps it needs a broader discussion. I'm still more comfortable with warning that the objection procedure will be used against you if you do this, which is the same as blocking, but it's not telling staff to block.
Now, we're going to probably end up with some situations where we'll have a couple alternatives, and I'm okay with that. What I would like to do right now is give opportunity for others to at least jump into this particular discussion to get a general sense of where people are leaning. The idea of a warning without a list, or the general statement of blocking territory and country names associated with the 3166 list, or even some sort of a list. I think there's kind of three things we've talked about that is non-inclusive. Where are the others that haven't spoken up on this?
Chuck, this is Olga.
Go ahead.
Yes, I agree with Abri having a warning. And Adrian, could you clarify to me what's the difference for you in between block and prohibit? I really don't see very much differences.
I think what you're trying to do is minimize your... you're trying to filter down before they have to get to utilizing the mechanism, utilizing the dispute resolution mechanism or arbitration or whatever you want to say, and by saying initially that anything that is clearly a name will be blocked, because what you don't want is also to have to get, you know, the GAC, because you're starting a big procedure. Once it enters arbitration or dispute, you're starting a big process, and if people go, you know, then you've got to get government involved and get people moving to put forward their arguments and their cases. I guess what I'm trying to do is make the process a little more efficient. If it's cut and dry, if you're putting in .india, I-N-D-I-A, in script or whatever, then that's cut and dry. Now, if it's something that's potentially contentious, then I see room for that. Then you can put and activate the mechanism. But what I'm trying to do is filter down the amount. So rather than having carte blanche and saying, okay, everybody can, you know, you can go for it, but by the way, if you do go for it, you're going to get, you know, you're going to have to go. Because then that's just going to, as I say, frustrate and create, get a lot of people involved in the process for just a simple blocking mechanism. Am I making sense? I'm a little
now, let me add something to that, Adrian. One of the things we need to keep in mind as far as the GNSO objection process is that there will be costs associated with filing an objection. Now, I'm fully supportive of that in the long term, even if it involves a government or territory or intergovernmental organization or whatever. But in the short term, asking governments and their interested parties to go to the expense of filing for an objection just because they have not yet finished the CCNSO process may be going a little bit too far.
Can I add something?
Sure.
I think that the point about the objection process and warning people that an application that looks like this is going to get stuck in that process is essentially a way of, in other words, being warned that this will happen to you if you do this. There's sort of an expectation that people will go, oh, I won't do that then. Now, if someone does intentionally decide to do that, it's sort of leaving it open to the individuals to sort of say, yes, I know I'm not going to get this through. Now, is this something that is still worth it to to us to bring up the issue and to call into process all these mechanisms, then yes, they still get to spend their dime and put us through it. For the most part, a warning will be, you know, it's like when I'm ice skating. I see a warning that says thin ice. There's no fence there blocking me from skating into the thin ice, but I know it's stupid.
Yeah, now, Aubrey, we still have the situation, though. And by the way, I agree with most of what you said there. The situation, I think a warning in most cases will work. In cases where it doesn't, if I'm a government or territory, an existing CCTLD or whatever, and I see, you're telling me that I've got to file an objection and pay a fee to do that ahead of when the CCNSO has finished its work. I think I have a problem with that from their point of view. That's what I'm trying to see if we can. I think.
But the objection process did not start with paying a fee. It started with filing an objection, and then, as I understood it, there were all these time to talk, time to cool off, time to resolve. And it's only when you couldn't get past that point that you were in the objection process. Now,
I fully understand that, but it's still, I think, going to be an issue with governments and CCNSO members if they have to do that in a case where the real problem is they haven't finished their work yet, because keep in mind it's going to be several years before the CCNSO finishes its full work in this regard.
Just the first round we're saying it won't be ready. We're saying for the next 5 years.
Well, it's the same issue, isn't it? Let me tell you a philosophy of mine, and people may disagree with this, and that's okay. But I think it'd be really good if this doesn't become, and it may be unavoidable, but to the extent that we can avoid it, I think we ought to avoid an us versus them, a CCNSO versus GNSO on this, as much as possible, and try to, and that was the intent of number two there, to try and look out for some of their concerns in addition to ours, so that we're cooperating together in the overall community to make sure that we've covered the bases as best we can.
Yeah, and that's what I thought the objection process was.
Well, again, I don't think that, especially in the case where we would go before them, that's going to be well received. Maybe I'm wrong, because I certainly know, I haven't got any inside intelligence on the CCNSO or the GAC. But again, let me open it up to others. Olga spoke. Let me hear from some of the rest of you.
This is Denise. The concern that we have heard from CCTLD operators and government representatives is that concern, particularly for those smaller trees or smaller operators, there's a concern that they may not have the wherewithal to track the, for example, the full GTLD process and be aware of and file in a manner objections that they feel may impinge on their country's rights. So there's also a concern for less developed countries and smaller CCTLD operators that may not have the resources to fully engage in the dispute process that's laid out in the new GTLD report envisioned in that process. So we're also hearing comments like that, and I know that's an ongoing concern, particularly for the GAC.
Right. That was one of the reasons why there was the discussion of ICANN notifying, and obviously ICANN's going to know when one of these has been submitted, and for ICANN to notify GAC of any such instances, so they didn't have to track it that carefully. Now, the whole notion of, you know, objectors having to pay to object is a staff position. That is not one that was actually written in by the PDP committee. That, yes, it was written in by a PDP committee that the objection process would be separately feed, but there wasn't a notion that one had to pay a fee in order to object. within the policy recommendations. That's sort of an implementation option. But there certainly was a policy recommendation that the staff would raise the flag, would notify DAC, and that's why DAC and CCNSO were empowered as objectors with standing to sort of say, hey, problem here. And
hold on a second. Adrian, just a minute. Let me put you on hold for a second. I'd like to give opportunity for some others to speak up that haven't voiced their opinion on this, if they will.
I'm sorry. I still don't know your name. Stephanie? And was she finished?
No one else has anything to say?
If somebody was speaking, they were speaking very faintly.
Yeah, I couldn't tell. Okay, all right, then, Adrian, go ahead.
Two things. Number one, when we talked about earlier about getting ICANN staff interpreting the list and blocking them, you said that you're then putting the issue back on ICANN staff, and that's why we're against the blocking. You're now saying that when the ICANN staff get an application in, they've then got to send that to the GAC. Isn't that the exact same process? Don't they have to do the exact same interpretation then to see whether one of these is or isn't? Not necessarily a block, but the same result. They're still making a judgment call as to whether this is pertinent to a territory or not.
No, it doesn't.
Secondly,
they're just going to be communicated to, Adrian. I mean,
They're making a decision to communicate, though. That's all I'm saying is, so when an application comes in some script, they're going to have to go and get that script translated and understand what that is. Otherwise, why would they notify the GAC? So this is my point. So before now, so you're still letting ICANN staff make a judgment call.
No, I don't think there's any judgment in it at all. They're supposed to communicate all of them.
So all of them to the GAC. So they're going to give the GAC the complete list of every new TLD.
No, but the assumption is that, yes, the ICANN staff does need to understand that it is a country name and that is going to, and yes, they'll have to do that discrimination in any case, whether they're blocking it or whether they're notifying.
So I just wanted to highlight that point because that was,
the point was that the staff wasn't being brought into the adjudication role. The staff is certainly being brought into the you got to understand what's happening role.
Right, the acknowledgement role. Or
the acknowledgement role. It's whether then the staff's decision to say, yep, this is one of the ones we're blocking, or it's the staff's position to say, oops, this is one of the ones that may engender an objection. We have to notify those who might want to object.
Right.
And there's different levels of decision. That's all.
I agree with that. And my second point is simply, please don't view the objection mechanism as a fee-based, that the cost is at the fees. Don't forget, for these small countries, the resources are at getting together a lawyer to respond and doing all that. So there's more than just the fees at the ICANN level.
Right, and that is a problem for everyone in the objection process, whether it's we're talking about small countries or whether we're talking about with the other objection processes, a small group that happens to not be a country or territory who believes they need to use the objection process. So there's a general problem with the objection process of how it doesn't end up an instrument just for the rich and not for the poor.
Okay, what I'd like to do now so that we can move on past this one is see if we can narrow down the alternatives that we've talked about. I think there are basically three, one of them being the warning, one of them being Adrian suggesting in terms of blocking but not containing a list, okay?
That was Tina's suggestion, just for the record.
Oh, thanks. For sure. And then the third one that I think was the first one was talking about having a non-inclusive list of names that would be temporarily reserved. Now, on that last one, is anybody supportive of that approach?
Which one of them?
The approach of actually having a list of country and territory names in scripts, various scripts associated with 3166 country codes.
I think the GAC is
Well, I'm less concerned about the GAC on this one because this is going to be the GNSO position.
Yes. No, I'm understand. I understand.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't mean to minimize the GAC, but the bottom line is does anybody want to pursue that idea any further? I'm not hearing anyone, so we basically have two alternatives, and it doesn't mean we can't come up with a new one as we work on this, on the table right now. One of them being the general warning, and then the second one being blocking based on some generally defined criterion for country and territory names. Okay, Liz, are you okay on that in terms of where we're at on
that? Oh, I have no idea where we are.
You have no idea where we are.
No, I mean, we went back to number two from number four, and then but in terms of the text specifically.
Okay, let's see if I can help there.
Thanks.
Okay.
This would be an extra one. This is really an extra one.
So we would leave two and four the same and add a new one?
If we're going to add, yeah. Or maybe it would be in addition to four.
Yeah, I think it's in addition to four.
Are we the clause we first added, which is provided that no IDN of TLDs associated with countries or territories are introduced earlier, blah blah blah, without the GNSS concurrence. Is that what's going to change?
Yeah.
I think that's still there, is it not?
Okay.
I think that's still there, but we're probably going to have to add some more there, and that's where we're getting into.
Right. This is the corresponding statement to that.
Okay.
That sort of says they won't get to add one without us, and we're saying, and no GTLDs will, and either A, people will be warned not to submit a GTLD application that would be a CCTLD, or there will be some sort of blocking list. Those are the two alternatives, and what they are is the reflexive statement to they won't do one before we have a participatory say-so, and we won't let anyone do one before they're ready.
Now, I'm going to change my position. I actually think the two options that are on the table right now relate to two.
Okay.
Because that's talking about if for some reason one does end up going first, how is that going to be handled in the interim?
You're right. It's not a fast-track issue.
Yeah.
Four is a fast-track statement, and two is a general statement.
Yeah, so really the two options, Liz, are relating to two.
Okay. I think we need to, restate the two options again.
Okay. Let me let Aubrey and Tina do the restating, because I think you're the authors. Aubrey, would you restate your option on the warning?
Except, yes. In creating, you know, we recommend that in creating, I could even type it in. The request for the application process. Applicants will be warned that any application for a territory, a 3166-1 territory name in any script is subject to the objection process.
Hmm.
And Tina, do you want to communicate the other option?
So the only thing I actually said was that if you guys decided to have a list, then I would propose some general language around that list to say that the list is not complete and it's any name of any country or territory in that definition that we agreed on earlier that would be reserved.
Now, that's the option that I think we eliminated.
Yeah, well, she was saying there is a list.
Well, because you eliminated the list. So I just said if you have the list,
yeah,
then you should have some language around it because it's from an operational standpoint,
right.
It's going to be hard to make it.
I understand
I think, Liz, I think that the other option to the one I said was a replacement, a basically bracketed text for where I say, we'll be warned that the objection, will be subject to the objection process would be, will be informed that those names will be blocked until such time as policy work on IDN CCTLDs is complete.
But there won't be a list associated with that.
Right.
It would just
and
be
basically, any name associated with 3166-1 in any script will be blocked until such time as policy work on IBM CCTLDs is complete.
Now, Adrian, isn't that what you were advocating? Is that a good description of that?
Yeah, it is, but rather than, why do we have to point it back to the 3166 list, why can't we just say any script that is representative of the territory?
I think that's actually very important that we tie it to the 3166 list, otherwise
yeah,
it starts getting broader.
But not exclusively.
Huh?
Well, as the basis of your list, but I guess what I'm... I retract my comment.
Okay, does that make sense?
All right. I agree.
Liz, are you okay?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, thanks.
You won't see it in the document, but...
Yeah, and by the way, I know we're spending a lot of time on this. This happens to be one that's probably really critical, and it'll help us down the road, so I appreciate all the contribution on that. Let's go on, and then there's some comments under number 5. The user experience is one of the fundamental motivations for deployment of IDNs and should therefore be a guiding principle in implementation decisions. You can see the comments there. Obviously, this is a point of disagreement among us. So let's just open it up for discussion on that.
So, as I said in my comment, basically, because of the relativism of that statement, and you know, this is a funny thing for me to argue against because I do consider myself an absolute relativist, but. By saying that, we basically make anything an issue of user experience, which is always culturally variant and such. And so I believe it opens us up to all kinds of really complicated issues if we say that that is the fundamental motivation.
Yeah. And obviously, I disagree with that because I don't think it's really all that complicated. The bottom line is that don't we want, whether it be GTLDs or CCTLDs in their space, isn't a primary motivation to make sure users have a good experience?
But I won't have a good experience of the network if there's a GTLD that says, .atheism is bad. If I see that one, that will be a very bad experience for me. And I'm using that as an example as opposed to ., you know, your favorite god is a demon. .tadld. Those are things that go against my user experience. If I see the name of my country listed in ., your country is evil, that will be a bad user experience for me to see that on the network.
So maybe what we need to do on this is be more specific in the areas of user experience that we're talking about. For example, I think we want to minimize confusion to the extent that's possible and reasonable for users.
And I think we were very careful in, you know, the things we defined in the PDP on the particular aspects of user experience that were relevant to the TLD discussion. And yes, we went further than some people wanted, but that's where we defined it. To say user experience broadens it so much, and that's my issue.
So what are the issues of user experience that do apply here? I mentioned one. Attempt to minimize confusion as is reasonable.
Right. I think if we're making a positive statement, what we're trying to say is the ability of a user to use the network in their script and language of choice is the fundamental motivation.
Well, actually, I think 5 says something different than that, but I'm okay with that statement.
And if that's the user experience, to be able to use the network in the language that is your first language, that is the particular thing that IDNs are meant to give.
Now, let me give a very specific example of where I'm coming from on this. Let's take IDN versions of .China. in different scripts, not just Chinese. Because in China they have other, there are people from other, using other first languages. If the dot China is operated in different script, every different script by a different registry operator, then I strongly believe that that's a very bad user experience. And in case of dispute resolution, like for trademarks or whatever, if the trademark holders have to file a dispute in every with a different registry involved for every use of their trademark in the various scripts, all involving a different registry, the cost and the application of the dispute resolution process is greatly complicated. That is not a good user experience. And it has nothing to do with them being able to use their... We can implement the opportunity for them to use their... use the Internet with a domain name, a top-level domain name, in their script without going down a path that creates a very complicated situation for dispute resolution, and so that it's readily available if they see it .china, regardless of the script. They know that there's a registry associated with .china that handles those sorts of things regardless of script. Total silence.
Well, I know for me that's further than I would think we would need to go in this one, but...
So you don't think that that would be a bad user experience?
No, not necessarily.
Okay, well, we're...
And I think that, you know, certainly, but beyond that, whether it would or wouldn't be a bad user experience, I'm not sure that that's something that we need to take a position on in this, but obviously you do, in terms of, you know, the whole, does that mean we're taking a position on the issue that the CCTLDs are the ones that need to run, whoever is running the current CCTLD is the one that needs to run the new one, because otherwise there'll be a confusion between the current .cctld and the IDN CCTLD in the various scripts. So are we making in our response here that particular recommendation of who the CCNSO, once we've done the redistribution once we've done that, we're saying that, and therefore then it's done, because the current CCTLD holder is the one that has to get it all because of user experience.
Well, I actually think that is the better user experience, but I also believe that that's a CCNSO GAC issue to decide that. What we're just saying is that in making that decision, you know, let's not create something that's very confusing and complicated for users.
Chuck, can I come in?
Yes.
I think to pick up on the point, unfortunately, sometimes you're going to have to broaden the user's knowledge on the topic, and if that means that there's a little bit of confusion, then you overcome that confusion with education. And more specifically, talking about the fact that the current delegate in the IANA database may not indeed be the person that receives the IDN territory domain name or top-level domain. Because from my understanding of what the process is going to be, and from what I've heard at least from the CCNSO and the GAC, is that the GAC strongly want government involved. And as you would well know, that government is not always involved as the delegate of CCTLD.
Yeah, and I respect that. But, Adrian, for dot Australia in various scripts. Okay? Because you
yep.
have certainly lots of people using languages other than English. You okay with the fact that dot Australia in simplified Chinese would be operated by a different registry than dot Australia in Korean or whatever? Is that okay? Is that a good user experience for those who are?
No, that's right. So that's slicing it one step further than what my consideration was. So yes, I would agree that that is a bad user experience. But to say that it's a different registry to the current .au registry is quite acceptable.
Oh, okay. So what you're saying is that all right. So it doesn't sound like we're too different in terms of what we're concerned about. Again, I respect the fact that governments, in some cases at least, need to they're going to need to make the decision whether they're involved and how they're involved in this. I'm not. That's why I'm cautious about just saying that we think that the existing ccTLD operators should be the ones that do the IDN TLDs. That's really their decision. I think that's another reason why the group that I led before wanted this emphasis on the user experience, so that when you're making these kind of decisions, let's try and not overcomplicate things if we can avoid it.
Absolutely. I agree with it on that level, certainly.
I guess that I still believe that user experience is too broad. I think if we want to say that, and it's not something that I personally want to say, I think that if, as a group, the GNSO wants to say that, then we should say that explicitly, but that we shouldn't hide it under. Now, if we do want to use the word user experience, then I think we have to define it in a restrictive way, so that by user experience we mean that the registry controlling all of the different scripts for a name are the same, or however it is we want to put that.
All we're saying in number five is that the user experience, and maybe we need to say a good minimally confusing user experience, is a guiding principle.
Yeah, I agree. It can be a general term. I don't know why you need to be specific, because there are certainly a lot of other areas and parameters by which you could refer to user experience outside of merely who's running the registry.
Yeah, but as I say, that brings in then everything from, remembering that everything that applies here in terms of ccTLDs applies everywhere. If we're saying that user experience is a guiding principle, then we're saying those things that users might find offensive and would ruin their user experience are also problematic.
Well, what about you put at the front of it, where appropriate and practical, user experience should be used as a guiding light, or whatever Chuck said.
That might be a way of doing it. Now, keep in mind, though, that with regard to names like .atheist or something like that that you used earlier, Avery, that's not an issue in this document.
Well, I think it actually is.
This is with regard to TLDs associated with 3166 country codes.
Right, but once we say that, are we saying that user experience, therefore, is not relevant to GTLDs? IDN GTLDs?
No, I think we want a good experience there, too. But
right, so basically,
this document is not dealing with that. This document is dealing with IDN names associated with 3166 country codes. And maybe we need to just qualify this to say in developing policy for IDN TLDs associated with territories and countries, a guiding principle, the user experience should be a guiding principle, a good user experience should be a guiding principle.
I'm still uncomfortable with it, but if I'm the only one, I'll desist. But I think it's dangerous.
Does putting some wording in, like, when appropriate, or where possible?
When appropriate, you know, is fine because it might never be appropriate. And in fact, when appropriate is one of those words that shows up in a UN document. It means it ain't ever going to happen.
What about, Aubrey, your initial suggestion in terms of limiting the use, you know, what we're talking about in terms of user experience to be able to use the Internet in your first language? In other words, saying in developing policy for IDN CCTLD is a good user experience, comma, meaning to be able to use the Internet in your first language, comma.
I don't think that addition fits here.
Okay.
We've already said earlier that we're supportive of the introduction of IDN TLDs, and that is basically to be able to use the network in your first language. We're really saying something different here. We're saying in the process of introducing those, let's make sure that we maximize a good user experience as much as we can.
But it is a user experience for those using the network in their first language.
Yeah, but that's not that what's being stated.
But I it may be a good modifier. Do you object to that as a modifier?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay.
Because I think that it detracts from the point that was intended by the group that developed it.
Yeah, and I guess it's one of the points in this document that I found problematic. So I think the issue remains open.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
I don't know where others stand on.
Obviously, the council's going to have to make a decision when we get there. Any other comments by other people?
So just to summarize, what I've got at the moment is in developing policy for IDN CCTLD is a good user experience is one of the fundamental motivations, et cetera. Do we want to note that this is...
Sure.
Can I just leave it like that, or...
It's okay to put a note in there that there's some disagreement here.
If you put brackets around good user experience, you indicate that that's a controversial term still. No, it's just square brackets around it. We know that it's still an open discussion.
Okay.
Perhaps we can find a phrase at some point between us that, you know, satisfies.
Okay.
Or satisfies.
All right. Then going on in the executive summary to number 7, we've already covered. We've got a comment there from Edmund. Edmund, you want to talk to your comment there? On number 7? You want me to read it?
Actually, we were on number 6, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed the comment there on number 6. Suggest combining with 7 below with some adjustments for the suggested edits below. Okay, let's see. So 6 is any added IDN label for a territory design in the 3166 list should be for the sole purpose of benefiting the language community or communities designated by the new label. And 7 then is IDN CCTLD strings should be meaningful to the local community and should represent in scripts of the sovereign currency. Okay, and so on. What do people think? Should those be combined?
Chuck, it's Adrian. I don't think they should. One speaks about purpose, and another one speaks about design. So one's talking about how it should be used for the sole purpose of benefiting the language committee. So that's use. And the other one should that it's representative of script. So I think they're covering two different things.
Edmund, are you still on? I guess I could look at my...
He's starting to be on the line.
Okay. Now, first of all, does everybody understand what the intended objectives were for these two? we're trying to narrow, you know, what can happen in the CCNSO space in terms of this. There shouldn't be an opportunity for just introducing some GTLDs that are in the CCNSO space. This really should be related to the, and it's in response to some of their questions later on in their document. So this is intended to make sure there's a limitation in terms of what IDN TLDs can be introduced in the CCNSO world. Anybody not clear on that and the intentions of 6 and 7?
Chuck, this is Tina. With that added explanation, I think you should keep it separate, because when you try to do something about limiting use, it often seems to be a very difficult thing to do. So if you want to try to get those things, those 2 points put forward, I would keep them separate.
Okay. Now, can somebody help me? I guess I'm not fully getting Edmund's suggestion here, and he's apparently not available at the moment to help us out in that regard. Can maybe somebody on the call can, what is he suggesting, besides the combining, which so far I've heard people think it's better to keep them separate, what exactly is he suggesting in the edit under 7 there? Nobody is getting that.
I'm rereading it at the moment. Excuse
okay,
me
sorry, go ahead. I'll be quiet.
Okay, so there is one thing in his comment that I would be concerned about, because he's talking about the sole purpose of benefiting the corresponding language community in the territory. And it's when you look at, you know, a language community, I don't think that can be limited to be within the border of one territory. I mean, language communities spread globally around the
yeah.
world, and it has to be beneficial for all of them, not just to those who live in the country that the string may be a
yeah.
translation of, or, you know, however you want to say that.
Yeah, and I think that, Tina, what you said is consistent with what the group that I led in developing the first draft of this was trying to get at. We recognize that it wasn't limited to just the country or territory, within the country or territory.
Good. So that's what I think it should be.
Okay, so should for now, until we can get further explanation from Edwin, should we just leave, Edmund, should we just leave 7 alone? Okay, and Liz, you can just put a comment there that it wasn't clear. We need additional comments from Edmund in terms of what he wants. Until such time, then we'll leave 7 alone. So you might want to leave his comment in there and just add a comment to it that the group did not wasn't clear on what Edmund was suggesting here.
And also in reading, and I think there's a wider discussion that we have to have when Edmund's here, is that he's right that a language community outside the country shouldn't be able to hijack it, but in the same sense, you know, can the language community within a country in some sense prevent the language community outside the country from access? And I'm not quite sure, and I think there's again, nuances in that discussion that we should have when he's around.
Okay. All right. Good. I think the next comment then is under 12, having to do with variable string length, and Edmund suggested we support the notion that variable string length is the appropriate approach for... I'm sorry, the screen scrolled on me, so... is the appropriate approach for IDN TLDs representing territories. Okay, so I thought that's what we were doing. But what is
it? I think he's just adding the we support the notion, as opposed to the blank statement that says variable stream is the appropriate. We support that notion. I think it was just a...
Oh, okay.
I think it was just a wording difference.
That's, which is, looks fine to me, than what he's saying. Yeah, it looked like he was saying the same thing, but it, he may have said it better. So that's
and also he did IDN TLDs as opposed to IDN labels. So it was a wording. I don't see a substantive change there, just a wording.
Well, except that, yeah, okay, all right, yeah. So it doesn't look like his changes. They look fine, don't they? So Liz, I think if you want to just do what he suggested there, that's okay. Anybody object to that?
Got it.
Okay, and then under 15, operators of top-level domain registries with IDN TLDs representing territories designated by the ISO 3166 list should be required to follow the ICANN IDN guidelines.
I think he's just making a flat statement as opposed to making it a comparative statement. The period. They should support them. You know, yeah, we should support them too. But
well, that's a lot different than should be required.
Should be required. Should be required. No, he's saying, I'm sorry. He's saying they should be required, just like we're required, but he's not saying that just like we're required part.
He's also changing the nomenclature from IDN labels
to TLDs, yeah.
Yeah.
Because labels are wider than TLDs.
And in his, it should be countries and territories, I guess, the same as the one that we have. Although, is everybody comfortable with just using territories and not saying?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
I think territories has been taken to include countries and go beyond.
And TLDs is okay instead of labels. That's a little more explicit. That's really what we're talking about. So is his wording okay?
Works for me.
Yeah, looks okay to me, too. Anybody opposed? Okay. Moving along into the specific questions in the document. We go then to number one, our response to... it'd be nice if there was some way of... dealing with that refresh situation so that we could, I don't have to keep scrolling back and forth.
Just lose your internet connection, Chuck.
What's that?
Just lose your internet connection.
Yeah. So then it'd be nice if there was a fixed version that we could look at and not change when we're going through this. Anyway.
Chuck, I cut and copied a version into an email to send to Tina before, so that was easy, and you can just scroll through that.
Oh, okay. All right. That's
I most certainly don't have any problems with it going back and forth.
Okay. All right. So did that maintain the coloring and everything?
Yeah, it did. In Outlook, it did anyway.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. So I'm not going to take the time to do that now, but that's...
You know what, Chuck? I'm going to forward you this copy just to keep you going. So you can just keep working and there'll be something in the inbox shortly.
Okay, because I keep getting bounced around and can't focus on number one. Wait a second. That's the wrong place.
It may be partly my fault as I edit.
Yeah.
You know,
I want you to do that.
Yeah.
So that's an issue now. Sorry, I'm going to have to get that thing because this is just bouncing me all over the place.
It's strange that it's bouncing you. I keep seeing the edits that she makes, but I stay on the same screen, so I'm not sure why it's working differently.
Mine keeps scrolling to different places in the document.
Oh, okay. I thought you were still focusing on the one we were talking about, which is the one that's always in the middle of the screen.
Chuck, I've emailed it. You should have it any second.
Okay, thanks. I'll pull that up as soon as I can here. So now... On number one, I guess there was no comments there. We go down to number three. CCNSO should be primarily responsible for that. And this is Adrian had a good comment here. I think on number three that the reapportionment of the namespace between GTLDs and CCTLDs should be determined prior to the allocation of any CCTLDs.
No, I think that was me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it says you. So, and I oh, did I say Adrian? I'm sorry, Aubrey. Thank you.
I didn't want him to be accused of this.
Yeah. One. Yeah, sorry about that. Okay, I'm looking at it and thinking of you and saying Adrian. Sorry, let me look at my email a second here and see if I've got that yet. Yeah. Okay. Ah, oh, good. That'll keep me on track here. That's a very good idea.
Now there's one issue with this, which is the allocation word. And this comes from the other group where I kept talking about allocation, but Edmund has been wondering whether it was apportionment or, you know, a different word. So it's certainly not allocation, because allocation is what the CCNSO does and is who they allocate it to. It's certainly what they do, and what I'm talking about here is the distribution or the definition or the... So, you know, the reapportionment. So, you know, the division of the namespace between should be determined if we don't use the reapportionment word. Reapportionment may be, and certainly the one that I use personally, but if we're being more neutral in our language, you know, we may want to say the distribution of the namespace between should be determined prior. And it leaves out that notion of reapportionment, which gets us into discussions of prior apportionment versus new namespace.
Now, I'm curious as to a comment you made at the beginning there, Aubrey. You said the CCNSO is responsible for allocation?
In other words, once names have been determined as being in CCNSO space or CCTLD space, and as, let's say we've gone through this whole long process of determining that, and at the end of the day, we've decided that any country name, any proper country name, you know, my favorite definition, let's say we get to my favorite definition is any country name as has been used on their currency in the scripts which you find on their currency is defined as CCNSO's remit. How they allocate those to various registries is totally up to them.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
And so trying to discriminate between the distribution or apportionment of namespace.
So apportionment really may be the best word there.
Right, the apportionment without the re part.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a question of Avery there?
Sure.
Avery, just to get a better understanding, I agree with the fact that the CCNSO should make the policy, but it's not the CCNSO that's going to decide who gets the name. From my understanding, surely that's ICANN or IANA's job, because you can be the delegate of a domain name at the moment and have nothing at all to do with the CCNSO.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why that was kind of the gist
right, okay.
of my question too, Adrian.
Okay, you're right. It's the allocation policy and not the allocation per se.
Yes,
what threw me.
Right. Okay. Sorry.
That's a good clarification. Thanks, Adrian.
Thank you.
Did you follow all that, Liz?
Actually, I didn't catch the last part. So we're going to leave the apportionment. We're going to
leave apportionment and add allocation policy.
Prior to allocation policy?
And that should be some prior to. Oh no, it doesn't matter. It's not saying that the CCNSO is doing it. Right. So no, that was just a side conversation.
Yeah, that
on
was
the comment,
your comment that I wanted clarity on. So
right.
And that Adrian was just commenting on. So.
Right. The allocation.
So is this a parenthetical to the preceding? Is this whole phrase, as in an explanation of the preceding?
Right. You're right. It could be a parenthetical before. Following the apportionment of the namespace between GTLDs and CCTLDs, the CCNSO should be primarily responsible for IDN CCTLD policies, etc. Could be a way of doing it.
Well, I thought it was just leaving it the way it was, and then at the end saying parentheses, the abortion of the namespace should be determined. Da, da, da.
Yeah, that's another way of doing it.
I don't, however you want, but I don't want to make sure I capture with this.
Sorry, I think they're two different ways. I think the way that Avery just said then is the correct way, because if you say as it is at the moment, the apportionment of namespace, blah, 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 should be done jointly by the GNSO and CCNSO, that's not right. So the way it stands, if you did following the apportionment of the namespace, and that's all you'd need to add to what is existing there at the moment.
Yeah, but isn't Avery saying something different, that the decisions regarding apportionment of names, IDN TLDs, into the namespaces of the CCNSO and GNSO needs to happen.
So, yeah, I'm saying both things. I'm saying that the allocation policies get determined following the apportionment, and that the apportionment needs to be done jointly.
That makes sense, Adrian? Does that work?
Can you define apportionment for me, please?
In other words, that's where we're going through this whole process now of saying which part of IDN namespace is GTLD, IDN GTLD space, and which part is IDN CCTLD space.
Okay.
That particular discussion is one that we haven't had yet.
Okay,
that's the long five-year one.
I just want to steer well clear of any inference of provisioning.
Yep, that's the third aspect following allocation.
Yep.
Okay, so just to bring us back, for number three now, I simply have the parenthetical at the end. Is that right? Or should I also add the apportionment?
I'm fine with leaving the parenthetical at the moment. We may decide later to do a rewording for legibility, but I'm fine with it as a parenthetical.
Okay.
All right. Now, what did Edmund have to say there? Are we consistent with what he's suggesting? Edmund, are you back on?
Oh, I thought we had addressed his.
Okay, I think we have. I just wanted to confirm that before we move on. Then number four there... I think I had fixed the numbering, so we're okay on that. Adrian, you had said there that we need some further highlighting and perhaps include it there. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
That's Avery again, Chuck.
I see AK in
green. Yeah, no, I said it, and then you said it, too.
Oh, sorry, right. Yeah, no, all I'm doing is agreeing. And sorry, Chuck. I think Avery's point, this is
why
we're...
Oh, so you're not saying adding some words. You're just supporting it. Okay. When you said it needs to be further highlighted, I thought you wanted to say more about it.
No.
Okay.
It's, I guess strengthened. I believe this is why the GNSO put in the ejection process, blah, blah, blah. Depending on how we, granted what we've discussed today may impact this. I think that the point could be that, I guess I'm just saying it's a strong point and you may want to elaborate on it, but I'm not so sure now, given what we've said today, whether it's still that way.
So should we add the sentence then that says this is why the GNSO put in the ejection process and made the GAC and CCNSO objectors withstanding?
Right. We could modify that slightly and saying, one mechanism for ensuring this is the GNSO objection process made the GAC and CCNSO objectors withstanding.
That sounds okay to me. Anybody object to that? Were you able to capture that, Liz?
Yes.
You're a lot better than I am.
Well, we'll see if you think so when it's done.
Okay.
I actually think this is working out quite nicely, watching the live document here.
So
you guys can check me if I'm...
That's right. We can see it and immediately pipe up.
Yep, thanks.
Okay. Now, there's a question there, Adrian, that you asked. Does this include the requirement to be bound by the same contractual conditions as GTLDs? And I just commented that was the intent. of it there, of the group that developed this. A whole bunch of comments there. Why don't I just open it up for, rather than reading them or something, why don't I open it up for discussion on this?
Yeah, this is a really large issue, and that's why I asked the question.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is no such presupposition within the CCTLD world, as far as I know it at the moment, as the contractual conditions. And there really is no limitation on how a nation or a CCTLD would use. Now, my approach has always been, and therefore we have to be very careful in limiting the number of these things. And I think the other approach that I think is one you're taking is that the problem doesn't come in the limitation of how many they get. It's A, in how many different loci of control there are and the contractual conditions under which they operate, that if they're going to look and quack like a duck, then they should have the same contractual conditions as a duck, which is a fine thing, but I think if we're going to say that, we have to explicitly work out that theme.
Yeah, I think what I was saying there, Avery and Chuck, is that there's going to be no chance in hell that some of these countries are going to contractually sign anything with ICANN to get their name. They're just going to be somewhat delegated. They're going to assume that just like their CCTLD, they're just going to be delegated this namespace. And so they're not bound by a contract now. Why would they be bound by a contract then?
And what the intent of the statement here is that our position is, whether they will do it or not, our position is that that shouldn't be allowed to happen in this case, because it's a way of subverting, I mean, giving a competitive advantage to country or territory IDNTLDs at the disadvantage of GNSO IDNTLDs.
Absolutely. So maybe you need to answer the question by simply saying consideration needs to be given the fact that it may be hard to contractually bind, you know, because the realization is it's going to be very, very hard to contractually bind these guys. So consideration needs to be given that the use of the name is not going to impact or infringe, GNSO, top-level domains.
So what's wrong with the statement as it's worded right now?
Because I don't know whether you say it as explicitly as that. Let me just go back over again.
Okay.
Well, okay, so why don't you just come out and say, my point is, why don't you come out and say quite explicitly, you're not going to be able to get contracts. So maybe you pose the question rather than saying it. How you know, we see this as a major issue is that IDN managers, IDN delegates, right, of territory delegates, will not be contractually bound. How do we, how is it proposed to protect the interests of GNSO registries?
Why is it important to state that directly?
Because that's the explicit point is, because we're skirting around the issue, because we're not actually saying here, and oh, my document's just jumped. I've got your disease now, Chuck. What number was it again? Five, right?
Five, yeah. That's why I'm not even looking at the live shows right now, because to lead the meeting, it makes it almost impossible.
If the assumption is that... Because you're saying deployment criteria, IDN should be similar to those for an IDN. But yeah, how can you... There's no way of ensuring that. There's no way of ensuring employment criteria.
It may be very hard to get through, but the bottom line is there anything wrong with us having that position?
Oh, no, absolutely not. No, in fact, I want to strengthen that position by being very, very explicit about it. I want to say do not allow them to infringe.
But how do you do that? I mean, how do you do any of this? This is really a tough one.
That's right, and that's what I'm saying is that this may be the biggest issue we have is that you're going to hand out these names to literally entities that you will have no contract with. And that's a big issue to us. And I don't know that you should even try to provide an answer here other than and how are you going to deal with that?
Well, I think it's important for us to get the point across. I think that chances of having much success on this one are probably fairly slim. But I still think it's a very valid point. Now, the question is, how do we make the point?
Well, could you say, in addition, in the absence of a contract, there's no ability to enforce the criteria?
Yeah, I like that, Chuck, because that's great wording, because what that does is, because by just doing this, they'll say, well, there's no way you've got a contract, and then you're done. They missed the point. Okay, but by saying that in the absence of a contract, you need to think about another way to protect us. Right? That's what I like about that.
I think that statement sounds okay to me. Any other comments on that? Okay. Liz, you have that?
Yep.
Anybody else want to suggest anything there?
Let me see, what does it look like?
Chuck, this is Tina. I don't know if you guys want to make the link back up to where you guys are talking about making limits to what kind of strings can be applied for or can be provided as IDN CCTLDs. Because if you make that restriction, you know, very strong in terms of, like, how can you represent a country or territory, then you eliminate number 5, right?
Yeah. Did everybody look at what Edmund says down below? He says the situation whereby a CCTLD becomes a de facto GTLD should be avoided when introducing IDN TLDs representing a territory. Then he says putting what was said in the case where such avoidance is not possible. And then he talks about ICANN's exposure there too, but that first sentence is the one that caught my attention, basically saying that should be avoided when introducing them. That's pretty explicit, and doesn't even get into the contractual issue.
Right.
Sorry, I just got that on. That's the whole point in terms of I guess my suggestion is to be explicit right off the bat and say, you know, try to avoid this situation, and then if you can't avoid it, then you know, there are other things that you should take into consideration.
Yeah. So then we could add some of those other comments there. We may not be able to finish this one in this call because I want to leave the last 5 minutes for. We're talking about future work and our target dates, et cetera.
Is this concept linked to the contractual concept? I know there's several issues here under number 5.
Yeah, well, even... so I think we're going to have to... I think what we probably better do on this, because this is really involved, I think you're just going to have to say that we're going to have to finish Section A, where we're at right now, in our next meeting. So rather than trying to accomplish something that I think is unfeasible, why don't you just make a note, Liz, that this is where we ended on today's call.
Okay.
And this, we're going to need more work on this. Now, what I suggest, Liz is going to finish the revision. And what I'd like to request between now and our first meeting next year is that if people could go in and add comments to what we did today in the version of Liz's document that we have, so that we will have those. We won't necessarily go back to those comments at that. We'll decide whether we want to go back to those and finish up what we did today or whether we want to just proceed. I'm not sure which way is the best approach, but we can talk about that. Anybody have any ideas on that? In our next meeting, should we kind of try and deal with the comments of the ground we've already covered, or should we continue proceeding and then come back and deal with the whole document again later? Any thoughts on that?
I think we should continue to walk through the document. I think all of us can perhaps take some time in between and review some of our comments in the light of the discussions we've had. You know, I know that perhaps I can delete or modify some of the comments I have later for things that have been resolved, or just make a point that says, you know, we talked about this up there, and so on. So perhaps we can do a little bit of pre-filtering ourselves in the document before the next meeting, but then I think we should continue walking through.
So in other words, add comments between now and our next meeting on the ground that we already covered, but we will, when we pick up next time, we will pick up where we left off and continue going through the document. So we'll come back.
Yeah, I think that's okay. I think I want to step further and sort of saying that in the light of what we've talked about and the bits and pieces of agreement we've come to, we may be able to go through some of our pending comments and sort of fix, correct them in case that we're, you know, still arguing the same point later that we've already resolved. We can all go through our pending comments and see whether they still apply.
Yeah, okay. Okay, anybody uncomfortable with that? All right, well, now we need, let's talk. We just got about 4 minutes, according to my clock here. As far as meeting schedule, we had set a target for rough draft later this week, the 20th. We're obviously not going to achieve that because it didn't work out to have a meeting tomorrow. We wouldn't have achieved it anyway. But this is, I think this is working pretty well. We're going to have a holiday break as far as teleconference meetings between the 20th and the 4th of January. So what I suggested is that we have meetings on the same time on Tuesdays, the 8th, 15th, and 22nd. 22nd if needed, but I think it probably will be based on the speed that we're going through this. Although I suspect once we grapple with some of these bigger issues that it'll go a little bit faster if we get resolution on those. So is that okay as far as meetings after the break, the 8th, 15th, and 22nd? They're all Tuesdays, same time as today.
Chuck, it's Adrian. I'd like to suggest a different time. Can we change this around a little bit, please?
How would you suggest changing it?
Whatever is a little bit more convenient for me, at least on one or two of those meetings.
So for the Asian and Asian on Australian, basically, reshift the time. Then we can ask Glenn to suggest some time to us.
Glenn, can you take care of that?
I'll take care of that for you, Chuck, yes.
As opposed to trying to do it online now. We get so confused when we start talking time zones.
Yeah,
I'll propose you.
Earlier means...
you might end up at night.
4 a.m., 3 a.m. for me. So, Glenn, if you do that, then let's... it'd be helpful if people
I'm not talking earlier, Chuck. Just later. We tend to get the GNSO calls, right? I can do them at 7 or 8 in the morning, and they're all fine, so...
Oh, okay.
I think this Edmund, I feel comfortable in the middle of the night. I have no problem at, you know, 2 a.m. something like
but,
that.
But Adrian doesn't. So we're going to have Glenn give us some options.
So a bit
please
later
respond on
than
the...
this time would be fine with me. I just want to let Glenn know, you know, if it ends up at 1, 2, or even 3 a.m., I'm okay with it.
Okay. Thanks, Ed.
Thank you, Edmund.
Right. But, yeah.
Okay, now I think we're gonna have to extend our target dates, and I'm not even sure we may have to shoot for the 22nd of January for our draft. I don't think we're going to be anywhere near close to a final. What do you think? Am I wrong on that?
Probably.
Yeah.
Why don't we look at the schedule separately, and then we could propose something back to the team and to the council. You know, we need to do something before Thursday, and if we're going to be later than what we said, we can adjust it.
Yeah, okay.
And inform the council. I think that that's the least of our issues.
Yep. And so it's going to take us a little longer than we had than I had anticipated, but that's okay because I think it's really important work. And the target date of the 22nd anyway would have been after the council meeting on the 17th. So extending it a little bit probably isn't going to be that problematic. Action items prior to the next conference meeting, just take a look at what we did today and the version that Liz is going to post later, because she still has a few things that she's going to do after our meeting. And feel free to insert comments like we've been doing, and then Glenn will send some options for meetings. Please respond to the options that Glenn provides so that we can get our meeting schedule set up in the next week or so and people can get it on their calendars. Okay.
And just a quick question for Aubrey as our Google Docs expert. I assume I can go back into this later on today.
Anytime.
The macro changes. Great.
Yeah. Yeah, look. Anytime. You can edit it. We can edit it. It remains there. You know, and I suggest that except for you who have the editing pen, all the rest of us keep working in colors and initial bracketed text. And you with the editing pen are the one making the things in black that look real.
Right. And I'll go back and fix some
suggestion.
Of that.
Good suggestion.
Good.
Okay.
Thank
all
you.
Right. Any questions? Thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful next couple weeks. And we'll look forward to some meetings then after the first of the year.
Yep. For those of you I won't be talking to several more times this week, thanks.
Okay.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay.